Well, good morning. My name is Brian. That was my daughter, Georgia. How many of you got to go on Easter egg hunts over the past previous weeks? Anybody? Yeah, yeah? How about since all the kids just left, how many of you parents took your kids on Easter egg hunts and actually ate their candy? Yeah, we're blessed that Georgia isn't really old enough to eat a lot of her candy, and so we just have to help her out with that. It's just, you know, part of being a parent, I guess. But last week was fun, wasn't it? It was Easter. It was just a really good day to celebrate. I was at Grace Gathering North, and in the morning, the service just felt like the whole thing was just this celebration that was so much fun. And maybe you got to hang out with your family, see friends. And it's just a good day to remember the resurrection and who Jesus is and the life that he wants to bring us. It was even April Fool's Day too, so it was like a double whammy of just a really fun day. But how many of you had a really great Easter, and you don't have to raise your hands for this, but you get back into the week and you realize that not every day is actually feels like a great day of celebration. For many reasons, right? Maybe for some of you, it was just kind of a small hitting Monday, but maybe for some of you, you were just reminded on Easter that actually it's Jesus's resurrection. We really, really need his resurrection because there's just some things in our life that really are tough, that we were really struggling with. In fact, this for many of you, this week may have been tough because as you got on social media, you saw that a lot of your friends were in a much warmer place on spring break while you were here. It's so good to have you guys here. But many of our friends went to spring break while we were stuck here in the cold. Actually, for me, I had a tough moment with this in 2011, and on April 1st, so about 7 years ago, it was my senior year, and I was very, very excited because we were about to road trip with a bunch of buddies down to Florida for spring break, and it was going to be so much fun. We were going to see all of our friends there. Saturday morning, I woke up, and I quickly found out that I would not be going on spring break. We received the news that in the night, my grandma had passed away, who had just turned 100 years old the month prior. And so, needless to say, I did not road trip with my friends down to Florida. Rather, we stayed home, and we grieved, we wrestled with the news, and we did all the things that you kind of have to take care of when you receive that kind of news. And last week, Chris helped us think about, when we think about Easter and how good it is, we recognize that it's Jesus' resurrection that we need his power in our lives. And we especially need his power when life doesn't go as planned. And we listed off a bunch of these. Maybe it is the unexpected death of someone close to you. Maybe you need physical healing. Maybe you're just stuck in a job that completely drains you. Maybe your marriage is not in a healthy spot, or you have a son or daughter who is far from you. Maybe it's financial. Maybe you are struggling with debt, or maybe you just received a bill that you didn't plan for. Maybe you just simply feel stretched thin with too many responsibilities. Maybe you feel, or you actually are, far away from loved ones or home. Maybe there's someone in your life that you're really praying for to know Jesus, and they're just really in a destructive way, and you're praying for them, but it just feels hopeless. It feels like that person is never going to change. All of those moments, some of them small, some of them really big, all of them real, all of them take us to a place where we have to ask the question, what do we do now? What do we do? What promise or good news from God can we hold on to when it feels like all the good things are slipping away? And today, I want to talk about what we are to do in those seasons because of last week, because of Easter. I want to talk about hope. You see, I believe that hope is the gift of Jesus that prepares us to receive all he wants to give us. Hope is the gift of Jesus, therefore Jesus is our gift, and it's also a gift from Jesus. Hope is the gift of Jesus that prepares us to receive what he wants to give us. If you want to turn in your Bibles or your phones to Psalm 42, we're going to see someone who was characterized as a very godly man, but encountered some difficulty, and we'll see how he responded. Because all across the scriptures, there are these examples of people who knew God's blessing, knew his faithfulness, and yet still encountered heartache and difficulty and times where they're waiting for things to change. And this is an example of one of them. You may know of King David. And this was a song, poem found in the book of Psalms. And we're just going to see how he responds. He says this, "As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God." Amazing imagery. "My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, 'Where is your God?' These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One, with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God." So, if you are coming off of a peak moment of celebration from Easter, I think there's a few things that we can note from this. And first of all, and that is this, you're not alone. There are so many examples in Scripture, and this one in particular, of someone who is actively trying to follow God and yet still is experiencing a season or a moment that he desperately needs things to change. In fact, what I think is so interesting is this is like the real deal. He says his tears are his food day and night. This isn't just like a bad day. This is serious. And yet, his response is curious. To his own soul, he says to himself, "Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God." Hope? This is David's response. This is the divinely inspired scripture to be honest about our situations and respond in hope. Well, what is hope? Put simply, hope is anticipating a future that is better than the present. It's simply looking ahead to a time that will be better than where I'm at right now. Now, hope is not optimism. Optimism is simply looking at a situation and imagining how all these different things can work together for the best possible outcome, and assuming that they probably will work out together for the best possible outcome. Sometimes this is blind optimism. I am very guilty of this because I just love to assume that things are going to work out regardless of what things actually look like. This is not hope. That's optimism. Hope looks at all the pieces and doesn't actually assume that things can just work out. Actually, hope is built on Jesus. Our hope as Christians, as people who follow Jesus, is built on Easter last week. And I think we get a pretty decent picture of the biblical understanding of hope if you look at the three words that the biblical authors used to talk about hope. Now, I am not an expert in original Hebrew and Greek languages. I got these three words from a video called The Bible Project. So you can look this up, and in 5 minutes, you guys can know just as much about these words as I do. But I found them so helpful. And so we're just going to walk through them. The first two are Hebrew from the Old Testament, and the most and Elpis at the end is from the New Testament. So the first one is Yachal. And this is the Hebrew word for hope. And it just simply means to wait. It's to wait for. It's got this idea of time. And it's simply connoting this idea that when we're in this moment or season where things aren't right, we're actually not just sitting there, but we're waiting for something more. We're not just sitting in the muck and the mire, we're actually looking ahead and we're waiting for something better. The second word, kava, is very closely related to the word for cord. And what you see is this image that as this cord is being pulled and tightened and stretched, you feel this tension. And it's that tension that we feel, this imagery of when we are stuck in a place where we're waiting for something to get better, we feel the tension of waiting for it to change. Waiting for our circumstances to change, waiting for us to feel better about them, and we just feel pulled in tension. The last word is in the Greek New Testament, it's the word elpis. And this is where our hope really gets down to what the core idea is. See, this word, elpis, elpis hope, is based on Jesus. Dr. Tim Mackey of the Bible Project simply said this: Christian hope looks back to the back to the risen Jesus in order to look forward. That's where our hope is, in Jesus. You see, a biblical view of hope understands that while you're in a season of waiting for something better, you feel the tension of things not being yet made right. And as Christians, our hope is built on the person of the resurrected Jesus. Elpis is not a worldly hope based on a person or a company or a government. Elpis hope is based on Jesus, the living one. In his book, My Name is Hope, John Mark Comer made this note at the end, in the end notes. He said this, in Revelation chapter 1, verse 18, Jesus says, "I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I'm alive forever and ever." John Mark says, "The story slash reality slash doctrine of the resurrection is one of my favorites in the scriptures. I love to think of Jesus as the living one, alive, back from the dead, and more than capable of taking on my worst problems. If he can break the spine of death itself, is anything impossible for God?" Our hope, for those of us who follow Jesus, is the hinge between the past and the future. We look back in order to look forward. We remember what God has done in the past so that we can look forward to what he's going to do. Hope is this gift of Jesus, and it prepares us to receive what he wants to give us. One example of Elpis hope can be found in Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. And we're actually going to start at verse 1. Paul writes, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. Now, here Paul, the writer, gives us a few truths that I think are worth noting. And the first is this: we can celebrate Easter and other days like it. There are going to be days that are good and worth celebrating. He says, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So that's good news. There's going to be days that are rich and full of life. But he also says this: we can also celebrate in our suffering. Not just tolerate it, but celebrate it. Because suffering produces endurance, endurance character, and character leads to hope. And this hope doesn't disappoint us. It doesn't put us to shame. See, I used to think that periods of waiting or suffering or perseverance were simply a means to an end. Like, we've just got to get through this season so that we can move on to things that are bigger and better. And that's partly true, because in heaven there won't be any suffering. But what I missed was, in that space, God wants to give us good gifts. He actually wants to use the things in our lives, often caused by sin and brokenness, to change us and give us good news. Which is incredible, because this says that God is so powerful and so good that even the things in our lives that are broken and messed up, God can take even those things and turn them into good news. In Romans 8:28, it says, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. All things, good, the bad, the exciting times, the times of waiting. Hope is this gift of Jesus that prepares us to receive more of all he wants to give us. And I think there are two gifts that God wants to give us in these seasons where we hope for something better. And the first is intimacy. When we choose hope in Jesus, he grows our intimacy with him. About a year ago, my wife Shandy and I and our daughter Georgia spent about probably 5 or 6 months where we couldn't go more than a week where at least one, maybe more of us being constantly sick. And it was so frustrating. It started off, it was kind of kicked off right after Christmas. I actually slept in my contacts and I woke up the next day and my eyes were so scratched that I couldn't open them for the next 3 days. And then from there, it just escalated. It wasn't always serious sickness. It was usually colds or sinus infections that wouldn't go away. But it was just always something. Our friend Zach Zeno, who is a children's team leader here, he ended up living with us last fall and this winter. And he said that he almost didn't want to move in with us because we were always sick. And then around May, June, it all culminated where we got this terrible stomach bug that, like, just, we almost passed out because of the dehydration and the exhaustion. And I remember being so frustrated because I had it first, so I got it on like a Tuesday, and I knew that it was terrible. And a couple days later, Shandy got it, and I was so frustrated because I knew how bad it was. And it was that Thursday and Friday that I was so mad with God, because we had prayed for healing, we had asked for prayer for healing, and it just didn't feel like we were getting anywhere. And so I was praying, and I was so frustrated with God, and I told him that I was mad that praying for healing didn't work. And I expected him to respond with this sense of conviction that I didn't have enough faith. But actually, he responded with something totally different. He responded with grace, with empathy, and ultimately with intimacy. I just felt this wave of peace and understanding come over me. And it was so different than what I thought. But I probably should have expected this, right? I mean, what we see in the God-inspired scriptures is when David was honest about being frustrated about his circumstances, He ended it by saying, put your hope in God. God wants, in those seasons where we feel hopeless, he wants to pour out his love into us, and he wants to give us the gift of intimacy. The second is that when we choose hope in Jesus, he grows our capacity to receive from him. This past fall, I was telling a friend who is much wiser than me about our period of sickness. And she said, or I told her that when I told God that I was frustrated with him, that I just felt this overwhelming sense of peace and grace and understanding. And she said, well, that makes sense because perseverance produces capacity. And instantly a light bulb went off for me because I was a runner for 11 years. And so perseverance is something that comes to mind and just makes sense. And I, as we were talking, I told her that there were a few times throughout, you know, the running career where I really remember those exciting moments. And I look back to races that were won or going to conference or state or whatever. And we were so excited as a team to celebrate those moments. But actually, most of the time was simply just the day-to-day of running. And a lot of those days didn't feel very good. And in fact, there were also a lot of races and entire seasons that were pretty bad too. I just choose to remember the good times. But she reminded me that I wouldn't have had the capacity to run and to experience those fun races had I not allowed perseverance beforehand to do a good work in my physical body. And it's the same when we follow Jesus. When we hope in him, he actually does a good work in us where he grows our capacity to receive what he wants to give us. And I want to share with you this morning this incredible story of one of our family's friends. Her name is Ashley. And for the past year and a half, 2 years or so, my wife and I and our friends Levi and Allison and Zach Zeno, we've been getting dinner together every week and truly trying to live as a family so that we can see God move in our friends and our family. And I just want to share this story with you because I think it's an incredible picture of God moving and it's an incredible picture of hope.
My name is Shandy.
I'm Ashley.
I'm Allison.
And about 2 years ago this fall, Brian and I and Levi and Allison and Zeno started just hanging out with our friends on Sunday nights, young adults. We were calling them family dinners, just really investing in people of peace around us. And Ryan and Ashley were one of the first ones that started coming. So to be intentional with them, like we hung out, we spent time together. One of the other things we did was as a core team, the five of us would just pray intentionally for the people of peace that were coming. So in the midst of our prayers, one of the things that God put on Allison's heart was just this dream that she can just share more about.
Yeah, so it was maternity leave after Emberly. So it was January of 2017, I think. In this dream, I just saw we were at Grace and Georgia and Emberly were running around the church. In the dream, Shandy was pregnant. And Ryan and Ashley were at Grace and giving their testimony. And so I told Zeno and Levi and Brian and Shandy about this dream, and I was like, wow, that, you know, that seems so far away. Like, can't even imagine Emberly walking at this point. Anyway, what happened from there was I got pregnant not long after I had this dream, and so I thought, okay, Jesus, you got it wrong. Like, I was supposed to be pregnant in this dream when this is going to happen. And so we just, as a core team, really started praying into that dream and praying into Ryan and Ashley specifically and what their relationship with Jesus was going to look like. Well, then I delivered and then Shandy got pregnant. And so Georgia and Emberly are both walking. Shandy's pregnant. And Ashley is going to tell you a little bit about her super awesome story.
So, I grew up with two strong Christian parents. They took us to church on Sundays, and we would pray before meals, but I never built that strong relationship, personal relationship with God. So, as I got older, went to high school, it was very apparent faith was the last thing on my mind when I was in high school. And that didn't just stop in high school, it continued on for years after that. Flash forward a little bit, and Ryan and I were invited to the Francois for Sunday dinner. We kind of got our first glimpse at what a missional community was, and didn't know at the time that that's what we were getting into. But we continue to come back almost every Sunday, and we would just dive deeper and deeper into a discussion about our faith. And early on, I definitely still felt like, and I communicated to everyone that my doubts definitely outweighed my faith early on, but that started to change. I felt something change in me. My want to learn turned into a need to learn. I was constantly seeking information, had questions all the time, and I kind of, after an Alpha video that we had watched, I don't even remember what the video was about, but we all get together and kind of talk about what we took away from each video, and everyone's going around talking about what they took away from it, and I couldn't even listen to what they were saying because in my head, I just had this phrase burning in my head, in my mind. I couldn't get it out of my mind. It was, seek me out. Three words, seek me out. That's it. And it was the first time that I felt like I had recognized a direct presence speaking directly to me, which I felt was from God. And that was really cool to see that. And during this time also, I had set prayer goals for myself, and I prayed aloud because it wasn't something that I was comfortable with. And I started out with just a quick 30-second prayer, and those prayers slowly turned into 2-minute prayers, and then it felt more like a conversation than me just talking into a void. And then one day, one of my routine prayers turned into me just getting emotional and breaking down and asking for forgiveness for all the time that I spent denying God. And then just letting go of the reins and telling him that I was ready to live my life for Christ, and I didn't have any more doubts, didn't have any more fears. And after that, I was just constantly challenged every day for the days, weeks following. I could recognize, it was so clear where the sin was in my life that I needed to turn away from. So I started doing that. I made huge lifestyle changes. Then things started falling at my feet. I had applied for a job at a faith-based company months before this, and then suddenly I was there for an interview, and then after that I had a job at this organization. So it just is such a feeling of joy and hope that I did not know existed, and it's just a really good feeling. So that's all I got.
Yeah, well, praise the Lord for that. I'm so good. So I don't know. I think there's so many good things in there. There might be two different things that you might resonate with. Maybe you feel like Ashley, and your doubts are just outweighing your faith, and you're just hoping that somehow that can change. And maybe, like us, you have people in your life that you're praying for and just waiting for God to move. And there was so many times over the course of about a year and a half where we just felt, we questioned, are we doing the right thing? Are we really making an impact? And we would look back to Allison's dream and we would say, God, if this is from you, we want to pray into this. God, may it be so. Jesus, okay, Shandy, she's not going to be pregnant for much longer. God, we need to see this breakthrough. And we were so blessed to see Ashley's life be transformed by Jesus. And so how do we wrap this up? How do we bring this to a place that's practical, that can be an easy way to step into response? Because we don't want to just hear the word, we want to respond to him. And so I want to give us just 4 practical ways that we can receive the gifts that he wants to give us. And the first is simply name the thing in your life that you are wanting to see change. Again, we came up with a whole list at the beginning. We came up with a list last week. What is that thing? Maybe it's something really big. Maybe you're just in this really tough season and it's blindingly obvious. This is that thing. Or maybe it's just a small thing and yet you really want to see God move in it. You're hoping for something better. Number 2. Remember a time when God was faithful to you in the past. Maybe you have a picture or a moment in scripture that you can look back to. Maybe someone in your community had a dream that you can look back to, which is such a gift. Or maybe all of that goes back to Jesus and the resurrection, and that's what you want to meditate on. That's what you want to spend time thinking about. because as Christians, our hope is rooted in what God has done in the past so that we can look forward. Number three, spend time with him and talk with him about it. Spend time with Jesus. I mean, we can be stuck in these seasons and not experience any change. But if we prioritize spending time with him and being honest with him, he will give us the gifts of intimacy and grow our capacity to receive what he wants to do. But we have to prioritize it. This is what David did. This was the example we saw in Scripture. And lastly, do this with others. Don't do it alone. Let God bring your family and community around you and ask others to pray with you. At the end of the day, we know that life is full of times that we can celebrate, and yet it's also full of times, moments, seasons where we are waiting for things to change, where we are hoping for something better. Will we be the kind of people who put our hope in Jesus? Will we place ourselves in a posture to be changed by him? Will we name the thing that we want to see changed? Will we actively remember his faithfulness? Will we pray to him and spend time with him? And will we ask others to do it with us? I hope we do. Because hope is this gift of Jesus, where he's preparing us to receive what he wants to give us. Let's pray. God, we just thank you that you are near, that you want to spend time with us, that you've been faithful in the past, and that in every situation, we can find hope in you. I just pray today that we would be a people of action responding to you. We love you, God. Amen.